Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 21. Exodus 21. We are going to look at the cities of refuge tonight. There were six of them. Six cities. God appointed them. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it so precious of Him to do that? God told Moses that it would happen, and God told Joshua to make it happen. All right, He told Moses beforehand, this is what I'm going to do. And then when Joshua came along with his people, he said, this is what I want you to do. And Joshua made it happen. That is the gospel of the story. All right, that's the gospel of the story. God told the law that it would happen. And God told Christ to make it happen. That's the gospel of the book, isn't it? The law pointed to what Christ would accomplish and finish. Now, this right here, Exodus 21, this was God's stipulation and His commandment concerning these cities, okay? This is His rules concerning these six cities. Look at Exodus 21, verse 12. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death, period. All right? He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. Now that's it. There's no but. That's it. There's an and. Verse 13 says, and if a man lie not in wait, if he did not ambush, you know, waiting on the other guy to come around the corner, if he was not ambushing the guy with an intent to kill him. If a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, what we would call an accident. There are no accidents with God. Okay, if a man accidentally dies, God delivered that man into whatever hand he was delivered into. But we would refer to that as being an accident. Verse 13, if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, meaning something was in the heart beforehand, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. All right, so that was the stipulation to enter in. That was God's command. If a person did it on purpose, he could not enter in. All right? Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy 19. Deuteronomy 19, verse 1 says, when the Lord thy God hath cut off the nations whose land the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou succeedest them and dwelleth in their cities and in their houses, God said, I'm going to give you this land of Canaan. And this is what we've been studying in Joshua. They're taking it. And He's telling Moses right here that when this happens and you dwell in their land and you dwell in their houses, verse 2, thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coast of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither. And this is the case of the slayer, which shall flee thither that he may live, Whoso killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hated not in times past. He was not angry with him. And he gives an illustration right here in verse 5. As when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor, his friend, to hew wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the helve. When he goes to swing his axe, and the head slips off the handle, and lighteth upon his neighbor that he die, he shall flee unto one of those cities and live, lest the avenger of the blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot and overtake him, because the way is long, and slay him, whereas he was not worthy of death. That was his friend. He wasn't mad at him. He was not worthy of death, inasmuch as he hated him not in time past. Wherefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt separate three cities for thee. And if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast, as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, and give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy fathers, if thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them which I commanded thee this day, to love the Lord thy God and to walk ever in his ways, then shalt thou add three cities more for thee besides these three. Six total, three on one side of Jordan, three on the other side of Jordan. Verse 10, that innocent blood, you see that? Innocent blood be not shed in thy land. This was an accident. He didn't hate him. That innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee. If you kill an innocent man, sin starts in the heart. All right? Sin starts in the heart. And he's saying, if you kill an innocent man, blood's on you. You know? So we clearly understand who these cities were for. If a man killed unaware, and he never meant for it to happen, but it happened anyway, the law said that an avenger of blood, the next of kin, could come kill that man. An eye for an eye. This is what the law said. An eye for an eye. And buddy, we would have a good system if we still held to this. An eye for an eye. Tooth for a tooth. Life for life. Right? So God said, in the event that a man finds himself in a position that he never meant to be in, I'm going to appoint him a place of safety, that he can run to that place for a refuge. All right, now go to our text, which is Joshua 20. Joshua 20, verse 1. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. And chapter 21 tells us that they did it. Verse 13, you can see, thus they gave to the children of Aaron the priest Hebron, with her suburbs, to be a city of refuge for the slayer. And it goes down through there and it lists all six of them. And it names them, and they did it. They did what God commanded them to do. So chapter 20, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly, unknowingly, may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. Now, what would you imagine he's saying to them? I did not mean to do this. We went into the woods together. He's my friend. I love him. I was swinging an axe and the handle slipped off and hit him in the head and he died. I didn't mean for this to happen. Okay, come on in. Verse 5, and if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up to his hand. You can't turn the man over. Because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time. He did not hate his brother, have anger. He did not sin willfully. Verse 6 says, and he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment. If he wants to live, he needs to stay in that city until he's put on trial and found to be innocent. And it says, until, verse 6, until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days, then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. Now, we can see the spiritual significance of these cities in their names. All right? These have spiritual significance. And we already understand what these cities represent. Verse 7 says, they appointed Kedesh in Galilee and Mount Naphtali. Kedesh means holy. This is the places they were running to. Holy. This place of refuge is holy. Verse 7 says, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim. Shechem means between the shoulders. What is between the shoulders? Our head. Our holy head. The place where God said all the government is going to be laid. Right there on his shoulders. Verse 7 says, in Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron. In the mountain of Judah. Hebron means fellowship. The Apostle John wrote, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's our true fellowship. Verse 8 says, and on the other side Jordan, by Jericho, eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben. Bezer means defense, fortification. Verse 8 says, and Ramoth in Gilead, out of the tribe of Gad. Ramoth means highly exalted. And we know who that is, don't we? Verse 8 says, Golan in Bashan, out of the tribe of Manasseh. Golan means captive. This place of refuge is a place where captivity is led captive. You run there and you run into a place where captivity can be led captive. Verse 9 says, these were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and die by the hand of the, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. Now, what are these cities telling us? God is our refuge. God is the refuge. Father, Son, and Spirit. Look with me at Psalm 9. Psalm 9, verse 9 says, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Look at Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Right here in Psalm 46, verse 7 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Psalm 48, verse 1 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge." Last one, go to Psalm 62. Psalm 62, verse 8 says, "Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." God truly is a refuge. He is a haven of rest for any soul. For any soul who has not willingly sinned. For any soul who, it can honestly be said, sin did not originate in his heart. If after being put on trial, it's determined that he has clean hands and a pure heart. Innocent. If he is innocent, then that innocent soul is welcome to walk straight on into that city. He's welcome to come right on in. If he's innocent, he can walk right on in. And that is just wonderful for that soul. I'm so happy for that soul. But I have a problem. I'm not that soul. There's a little twist here. There's a little twist in the story. It doesn't go the way we thought it would go. You see, God is holy and God is just, and He will not clear the guilty. If any man in his heart hates another man and kills him, you just come on in here and they can't touch you. God said, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. The only way you're coming in here to be safe is if you are innocent. That place is a wonderful refuge. That is a safe haven. That's a holy place. That place is high and lifted up. That's where all the government is. And the soul who's allowed to enter into that place is not me. Not me. I am not that soul. Go with me, if you would, back to Deuteronomy 19. Deuteronomy 19, verse 4, it says, "And this is the case of the slayer, which shall flee thither that he may live. Whoso killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hated not in times past." Joshua 20, verse 5 says, "If the avenger of blood comes for that man, you cannot turn him over to the avenger." You can't do it. He never committed evil in his heart. That man is innocent. Now look at verse 11. Deuteronomy 19, verse 11. "But if any man hate his neighbor and lie in wait for him and rise up against him and smite him mortally that he die and fleeth into one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send and fetch him thence and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood that he may die." Verse 13 says, "Thine eye shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee." That right there is me. That right there is you. It would be so wonderful if I could just tell you, all you got to do is run to that city and everything's going to be okay. And I am going to tell you to run to that city, but there's a stipulation first. That is the problem. That's the problem. That is me. That is you. And that's God's law concerning us. That's what God said happens to every sinner in our condition. If a man is found to be guilty, he must be taken from this holy, highly exalted place of fellowship and government. And he must be brought outside of the city, without the camp. And he must die. Now, for every soul who is not innocent, every soul who willingly sinned, every soul who with an evil heart rose up against him and cried, "Crucify him. I want him dead." Why? What hath he done? Wouldn't you prefer I just let him go? Don't you dare. Give me Barabbas. Crucify him. For every soul who is guilty of innocent blood, and that's us, God has declared there is only one place of refuge for that soul. And that is in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a high priest who touched our infirmities. The one who knew no sin, innocent. God made him to be our sin. And then Isaiah 53 tells us he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Out from the fellowship of God. He must come out of this highly exalted place. He must come out of this holy place. And he must be delivered to the avenger of blood. And the avenger of blood poured out his vengeance on him, and he died. God dealt with his people in Christ. This city of refuge is a story for us. But it has to be dealt with righteously and justly. We had to be brought out and killed. And we were brought out and killed in him. He became my guilt. And God dealt with Christ based on what the sin of his people deserved. That's what we deserve. He clearly said, this is what we deserve. Verse 13, it says, Deuteronomy 19, verse 13, "Thine eye shall not pity him." God did not pity his own son. Isn't that something? He had no pity on him. He didn't just sweep it under the rug. He had no pity on him. Why didn't he pity Christ? Verse 13 says, to put away the guilt of the innocent blood that was shed. That's why. In Christ, the guilt is gone. In Christ, it is absolutely gone. Well, what does that mean for us then? Verse 13 says, it may go well with thee. It's going to go well with you. If the guilt is gone, what does that mean for us? It means we're innocent. Made to be innocent. All guilt has been removed. And now you're welcome to walk straight on into the city. You can enter right into the gates. Every guilty sinner who runs to Christ for refuge is going to be innocent. They're going to stand before the judgment. I love how Jeremiah said, "In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. We're going to be put on judgment, and there's not going to be any. Every single soul in Christ is going to be found innocent. Innocent. All because our Lord made Himself to be guilty. And as an innocent man, this is what our text told us. Go back over there to Joshua 20. Joshua 20, verse 6. As an innocent man, he shall dwell in that city. That soul is going to live in Christ. As in, he was guilty, and God dealt with him accordingly, and now he's innocent, and he's going to live in Christ. He's going to now stay in Christ. Verse 6 says, until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest. Christ, his high priest. And then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. Once the judgment has been made, this man is innocent. He's innocent. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Once that judgment has been made, the judge is going to say, you're free to go. You're free to go. You're absolutely free. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I was thinking of a scripture. I was looking for it before the message and I couldn't find it. But talking about in glory, the Lord said they're going to come and go. The gates are going to be wide open. Does that mean they leave Christ? No way. It just means they're free. The Lord has made them free. And that's what every sinner is going to hear. You're free to go. These cities right here, they literally were needed all the time. The Lord, that's why He made six of them. He evenly spaced them out so that when a man desperately needed it, he could get to them quick. Run quick. And here's the thing. You and I need Christ. And God has made it so that a guilty soul can get to Him quick. If you need Him right now, you can get to Him right now. This is what the Apostle Paul said in Acts 17. He said, He is not far from every one of us. If you need a substitute to be dragged out of the city and killed for you, He's not far from every one of us. He said, you just look with the heart. That's all you have to do. You just look with the heart. They were, can't you see those guys running to those cities? Can't you see them just running? If you felt like there was an avenger of blood on your heels, wouldn't you be running to the cities? That's what we do. We run with the heart. We flee with the heart. And you go plead your guilty case. That innocent man said, I'm innocent. But if you need a substitute, you run to Christ and you cry, I'm guilty. I laid in wait. I did it on purpose. And you plead your guilty case before Him and He'll receive you into Himself. And if God ever puts a sinner in Christ, that sinner's safe. He's safe. He's free and He's safe. That's wonderful. Free and safe. Liberated. That's wonderful. Let's all stand together. Turn with me, if you would, to 258.